The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Tuesday, November 2nd, and we are recapping yet another thrilling NFL trade deadline. Joining me to break it all down, Ryan Wilson and John Breach. What's up, fellas?
Breach, I'm glad I'm the draft guy, not the trade deadline guy, because I would probably have been fired for lack of activity.
Well, I think we're going to get a lot of listeners today because I think they're going to want us to rank all our favorite trades. What's your top 10, Brinson?
I didn't think this would make my top 10 favorite NFL trade deadline, so I don't know. My favorite, number one, the Dolphins not trading for Deshaun Watson. Yeah. Number two, the Eagles not trading Fletcher Cox.
So your favorite trades of the trade deadline was no trades?
Correct.
Odell Beckham not being traded from the Browns.
Actually, I would say my number one trade was Stephon Gilmore to the Panthers. Number one, Von Miller to the Rams. Number two, Stephon Gilmore to the Panthers. Number three, Joe Flacco to the Jets, just for the humor's sake. Number four, Dan Brown to the Chiefs and Laurent Duvernay-Tardif to the Jets, just because they traded for a doctor at the trade deadline. Number five, Zach Ertz to the Cardinals. You know, That should be higher if we're doing a realistic one and not a sarcastic one. And number six, did I say Mark Ingram to the Saints, maybe higher than that. Melvin Ingram to the Chiefs, Charles Amenhu to the 49ers, and CJ Henderson to the Panthers, Kenny Young to the Broncos. Does that cover all of them?
Yeah, I think so.
So, yeah, I mean, if we're looking at the biggest deals, I mean, I think you start – well, let's grade some of the bigger ones. How about that? We'll start with the ones that didn't happen because, again, I think that is a bigger deal. Deshaun Watson.
I'll just know quickly. We've had 10 trades going back to October 5th. So that's how infrequent this has happened.
Absolutely.
Down the stretch here. So go ahead about Deshaun.
And only four of those happened on the trade deadline day.
The biggest story is that Deshaun Watson did not get traded and will be with the Texans throughout the rest of the year, barring their decision to release him and him signing somewhere else. Also, Brandon Cooks not traded by the Texans. Brady Quinn made an interesting point when we were talking before the show for Wednesday's show, which was not, it didn't actually make the cut. But he said the Texans may have screwed up by not trading Deshaun Watson because it's possible that, his legal situation could get worse over the next several months heading into the offseason. It's possible that Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson are available. It's possible that other quarterbacks are on the market. And so it could sink the value that the Texans could get in return for Deshaun Watson. But it was very clear that at the end of the day, Stephen Ross, the owner of the Dolphins, was not willing to make the deal to get Deshaun Watson from the Texans without some sort of He needed certain conditions met, i.e. a settlement of some sort in the Watson case, and couldn't get there.
So it's funny you say that because J.J. Jonathan Jones just posted on the Twitter machine his latest at CBSSports.com about the Deshaun Watson deal and sort of echoes what Brady's talking about in terms of things possibly getting worse. If Watson's legal issue worsens, J.J. writes, so does his value to interested teams. This is going to happen next offseason now at this point. The introduction of Aaron Rodgers and Russ Wilson to the trade market will also hurt his value. And that's something else to consider. Like, Russ and Aaron Rodgers weren't going anywhere in early November, and now they're going to be in the mix. There'll be other quarterbacks we haven't even thought of that could potentially be on the trade market. And we said this last January before I think all the allegations came out against Deshaun. That was when Deshaun's value was at its highest, and they sort of set on it. All the Deshaun Watson allegations came out. And things went quiet over the summer, and this was another opportunity to move on from him. It sounds like the price wasn't met from the Texas perspective, and now that you're gambling that the value will go up, but if things get worse, the value won't go up. With the market saturated with big-name players like Aaron Rodgers and Russ Wilson, the value may not go up. So as we sit here, the Texans are still a very dysfunctional organization. I think they had a chance to get some draft picks and perhaps improve their long-term chances for success. But, you know, here we are. Nothing's changed.
Well, the other part of that is that let's not forget the key factor here. Deshaun Watson doesn't want to play for the Houston Texans. So let's say he clears up all his legal issues in January, which would certainly make him more tradable. But now you're Houston, you're saying to yourself, why would we trade him unless we get exactly what you want? And so they're going to keep having this huge asking price. I don't see how this ends well for the Texans, no matter how it plays out, because the flip side of that is that Watson doesn't get his legal situation resolved. So now you're into the offseason where you're in the same situation where teams are going to say, look, we're not going to give you three first round picks because we don't even know if this guy's going to be able to play in 2022. And so I feel like his peak value was right now, because if you're the Dolphins, you're already 1-7. If Watson gets suspended for the rest of the season, that's fine because you're done. Your season's over anyway. You start him next season. But now if he's still there, which he's going to be, as you guys said, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, if you're a team looking for a quarterback, are you going to go for two of the best active quarterbacks right now, or the guy with the crazy legal situation? You're not even going to talk to him. That's just playing with fire. You're going to call Aaron Rodgers' agent. You're going to call Russell Wilson's agent. So I just think the Texans blew it by not lowering their asking price to get something done.
He Chris blew it.
Booyah. The other thing is, yeah, we mentioned Deshaun Watson not traded. You can at least make the case that with Watson not traded. And by the way, hit the like button. If you're watching this on YouTube, press the like button. Smash that puppy. We're trying to get that thing cranked up. The Texans didn't trade Brandon Cooks either. I don't get that. Like, Brandon Cooks is a productive wide receiver who can help a contender. You could get a third-round pick for him, right?
Yeah. If you're trading with Breach, I don't know if you get a third-round pick for him.
I mean, conditional third-round pick?
That seems pretty rich, maybe. I clearly, no one wanted him at that price. I would imagine the Texans would have parted ways with him. I think what's more egregious is that the Texans traded Charles Omenihu, their third-year player, who's on a defense that stinks, and only got a sixth-round pick for him.
You know what? Brandon Cooks' contract is not ideal, actually.
But so that's the bigger issue for me. That said, I mean, if the contract is amenable, you should be having a fire sale if you're the Texans, if you're the Lions, if you're the Jets. What do you know, Wayne?
Cooks' contract's fine. He's got two voided years on the back end. Like, the concern for me is with the Texans is that they don't recognize that they are 1-7 and need as many assets back as possible. Just get something for Cooks.
This is like a company having a going out of business sale, and you walk in and they're still trying to charge full price for everything when everything should be 50% off.
No, they're raising prices. Not even
cutting. Yeah, they're raising prices, and you just walk out like, what the hell are these people thinking?
It's like you walk into like a Dick's Sporting Goods that's having a going out of sale, and you're like walking, you're like, oh, I like that tent. They're like, oh, actually, that we're not selling that tent. But
that tent is actually double what we were charging yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, get some value in return for these players and just go into full-blown tank mode. I mean, Cooks is not going to save your season. Go look at some younger players. I mean, this is a guy who's 28. You know, he should not be a part of your rebuilding process. You traded Mark Ingram to the Saints. You know, you just don't have a whole lot, and it's not going to get better.
It's funny you mentioned the Saints, because Kimberly Martin reports that there were some conversaciones about Odell perhaps going to New Orleans. We talked about in the pre-show, Odell's a possible landing spot there. And I think Breachy made the point that if your quarterback is yellable in the eyes of Odell Beckham, it probably doesn't make sense to relocate him to whatever city that may be. So I think Kimberly also writes that there's still optimism in the Browns building that OBJ can be a big part of their second half playoff push. So Breach, I'll ask you to reiterate, how's that possible after the video that whoever produced it on YouTube showing all the times that Odell Beckham was wide open?
It doesn't make sense. I don't know how he's going to walk back in the locker room after his dad threw Baker Mayfield under the bus after LeBron James was out there tweeting. It was like Odell sent out a text that said, all right, guys, just do whatever you can. Get me out of Cleveland. I want all my famous friends. I want you, Dad. Everyone make it clear that I do not want to be with the Cleveland Browns anymore. And that's what they did all day. They sent this, they blitzkrieged social media with these messages that Odell needs to be traded. And that's fine if he ends up getting traded, but he did not get traded. So now he has to walk with his tail tucked between his legs back into that locker room, look Baker Mayfield in the eye and be like, hey, bro, sorry my dad shared a 10-minute video about you overthrowing me 25 times. You know, I don't know how they're going to get along. You wouldn't have gotten along in New Orleans. You think if you can't get along with Baker Mayfield, you think it's going to work with Trevor Siemian or Taysom Hill throwing passes? No, it's going to be even worse. So I don't know how the Browns are going to handle this. It feels like Odell is I'm not going to say he's killing the chemistry in the locker room, but he is certainly not helping it. And, you know, Baker Mayfield's trying to play with a broken shoulder. And, you know, if he's thinking in his head, God, I got to throw it to Odell on this play, that's not going to help a Browns offense that's already struggling. So I just think this is a bad situation for Cleveland.
I am not surprised that he wasn't traded. They don't have a ton of depth at wide receiver. I don't care that he hasn't been productive. He is Odell Beckham. We know he has a skill set. Maybe something can click. Maybe they can make a run at the playoffs. They're 4-4. They're supposed to have a special season. Everybody was sort of hoping for a bounce back from OBJ. It clearly hasn't been there. But again, with all the money that he's owed this season, and there's no dead money on the cap. There's no dead money on the final years of his deal, so they can move on from it. By the way, what a terrible contract that was that they gave him. I'm just not surprised that they decided not to trade him, even though, you know, I get that his dad did all that. Like, his dad's not getting him sent out of town. And then LeBron James is tweeting about it too. Like, the whole thing was crazy. I think the Saints could have made some sense. We don't know what the deal is with Michael Thomas, when he's going to be back. They certainly need help there, but they're not going to take on a ton of his salary. They can't afford to take on a ton of his salary. Speaking of the Saints, what do we think the Saints will do at quarterback? They didn't trade for anybody. There was some thought they might trade for Teddy Bridgewater, you know, given his familiarity. There's also, you know, been some chatter. Who's to say who started the chatter? About, you know, Philip Rivers. Rivers said he would have some interest in the Saints. But you hear also that the Saints don't really want to, one, deal with, and Sean Payton said this directly, bringing in an outside quarterback who doesn't know the system. And then, two, are the Saints really going to keep four quarterbacks on the roster roster for the entire year?
Who are the four?
Ian Book, Taysom Hill, and Trevor
Siemian. I forgot about Ian Book. Yeah, I never was buying into the Philip Rivers thing. Because he's old, number one. He's been coaching football, number two. Maybe he's working out and throwing and staying in shape and all that. I think he would probably wouldn't have that much trouble learning any offense because he's pretty smart and he's played for 20 years. But I don't know if he's a – because don't forget, like, his last year in Los Angeles, San Diego, wherever they were at the time, everyone but you had concerns about him, Brinson. Like, he didn't look
fine in Indianapolis, Ryan. So
he was better last year, for sure. But I don't know. I don't know if he puts that team over the hump. I think you sort of roll with Trevor, you roll with Taysom Hill, and I'm actually sort of interested to see how that plays out. Saints fans may feel less certain about that because they have more vested in it, but I don't know how much more. How many wins does Philip Rivers give you if he starts in 2 weeks, Breach?
Who are the Saints playing 2 weeks?
If he doesn't start playing until 2 weeks from now because he has to get acclimated, how many more wins at the end of the year does he provide you other than Taysom Hill / Trevor Siemian?
One.
Okay. So, I was going to say 1.5 was the over-under. So that could be the difference between they're making the playoffs. I mean, we've already talked about this.
They should make the playoffs, yes.
Well, and Sean Payton did say on Monday he thought it would be a, quote, challenge to bring any quarterback in. So he kind of shot down that they were going to trade for anyone. Obviously, they don't have to trade for Rivers. They can just sign him. I don't hate it. Like, what is the – just bring him in. Like, and if he learns the playbook quickly, you can play him. Or if you think he's a good fit for your offense, you play him. And if he's not, then you have a veteran on the sideline in case something happens to Taysom Hill, who has missed the last 3 weeks with a concussion. Because you don't want your season riding on Trevor Siemian. Like, I think it's got to be Philip Siemian. You've got to Philip Rivers.
Where did these words come? I don't understand.
Look, Philip Rivers said that he
could. Let me ask you this, though. What if the concern is Breach, if he's not the starter because of whatever reason, that he's not fully invested because now he's traveling back and forth, I would imagine, he's probably traveling back to see his kids, or is he staying in New Orleans?
Philip Rivers is only coming if he's a starter. He's not coming if he's not the starter.
Yeah, but you get 3 weeks into it, and it's like, oh, my gosh, he's not the person we thought.
No, but I'm sure Sean Payton, they can paint a picture that says, look, Philip, you're going to be the backup the first week or two because we need to get you – you have to get familiar with the offense. He's not going to expect – Sean Payton could sell him on
– Just to clarify that, I think here's what would happen is, I mean, you can give your playbook to anybody. Like, if somebody's
online,
Sean Payton could send a Saints playbook to Philip Rivers.
Sean Payton tweets out plays.
No, yeah. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like it'd be a violation of NFL rules to give Philip Rivers a free agent and retired. Like, you could give a playbook to Philip Rivers. Let's say hypothetically, the Saints, you reach out to Philip Rivers, say, listen, Philip, we are potentially interested. You know, we want to keep this quiet. We want to see how Simeon and Taysom Hill do over the next 2 weeks. We play the Falcons at home. They were at the Titans. Then they have they're at the Eagles November 21st. And then they have to play the Bills at home on Thanksgiving, which will be on Sunday night. Although I guess it's Thanksgiving. Yeah. You could potentially say, let us see how you do the next 2 weeks. And then you make a decision on the Rivers thing, because if Simeon and Taysom Hill play well enough where you beat the Falcons and beat the Titans, you know, you're at, seven wins. And
what is that? I'll look it up. I don't want to ask you. So
you can ask me, I got the schedule in front of me.
No, I was going to ask you the playoff odds from Football Outsiders. What, how many wins are you giving an Aaron Rodgers, a Philip Rivers led Saints team, if he starts 2 weeks from now? Breaches at one. I think that's about right. One extra win.
I got the playoff odds. Hold on. I'll bring it up. The Saints are currently at
65%. 70%. Yeah. So I get it. Like, I'm with Breach. I'm fine bringing them in. I don't know what the long-term payout is. Like, I don't know if he makes you that much
There's
better.
No long-term payout. It's a 9-week payout, and you hope that it pays
long-term
off.
Long-term being weeks 10, 11, and 12. Like, is the... If there's no cost, bring him in. I get it. He's not going to be disruptive. He's not going to be angry if he's not playing. He'll just retire or whatever. Yeah, bring him in. That's fine. I'm not going to push
back. Philip Rivers.
Yeah, I'm not going
to
push back.
I think that, look, Philip Rivers now knows has to think there's potential interest. He said it would probably be 2 to 3 weeks for him to get in good playing shape. You don't have to bring it. He already said, he's like, I'm not playing for the, you know, somebody asked him, would you play on, you know, Sunday against the Falcons? He's like, no, it's like, he said, in theory, you know, if on Monday I needed to play the next Sunday, yes, I could do that. But, you know, I would rather have like 2 to 3 weeks to get ready, prepare, learn the offense, all of that. So I think you're looking at, if they decided to do it, it would be for that Eagles game, Eagles game in 3 weeks, or even the Bills game on Thanksgiving, which I think would be on NBC, which would be hilarious because Drew Brees would be the studio analyst for that game. Moving on. Is there anybody out there who should have made a deal that didn't make a deal that bothers you guys?
I wanted to make a deal after the Saints that we went to break, but you didn't go for that.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features, like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating, so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads, so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Okay, well, let's take a break. This notification thing is just a problem for me, but thank you, Wilson. What did you trade for me going to break? What were you willing to trade? Breach's presence for our draft grades?
What presence does Breach have?
Breach in like 6 minutes. He's got a kid thing to do. I mean, like it's
I thought you meant like gifts, presents. I was like, wait, what did he get us? Nothing. His departure is the gift.
I tell you what, let's just start grading deals that should have happened. Or the grading deals that actually did happen. Yeah. Not talk about ones that should have happened. Melvin Ingram traded to the Chiefs from the Pittsburgh Steelers for a 2022 6-round grade. What grade do you give the Chiefs? What grade do you give the Steelers, Breach?
I give the Chiefs a B+. They had to do something to revamp the defense. They only gave up a 6-round pick. Melvin Ingram knows the AFC West. He played in it for 9, 10 years with the Chargers. And so he's back in a familiar area. And he wasn't great with the Steelers, obviously.
No, he was. I was going to ask you why B+. Go ahead.
And by the way, actually, Breach, you do Chiefs, and Wilson, you can do Steelers.
If he can be a step up on anything the Chiefs have right now, which is completely possible because their defense has been so bad, then it's a good move for him. And they had to do something, and this is what they did, and I'm okay with it. And they only gave up a 6-round pick to make it happen.
I'm giving Breach an F for the B+ that he gave the Chiefs because I'm giving the Chiefs an A+, even though. Oh! So look,
A+.
Melvin Ingram actually has played pretty well. Breach may be talking about the fact that the Steelers like to drop Melvin Ingram in coverage when they let him play as a part-time player, and that's not his game. He wasn't terrible at it, but he got after it in terms of rushing the quarterback, and it was just a situational pass. He was a situational player because of Alex Highsmith and obviously T.J. Watt, and that's too bad that the two sides didn't understand that at the onset of their time together. So I think it's great for the Chiefs because that defense stinks. Anyone would actually be an upgrade. But B+ isn't bad. I'm just giving Breach a hard time. The Steelers, I give them a B, maybe even a B- because they didn't work things out with Ingram. They sort of need him in terms of a rotational player, unless everyone can stay healthy and play 60 snaps a game. The 6-round pick is okay. You would like to get more for it, but you're not getting more for a veteran player on a show me deal when he wasn't playing a whole lot of football.
I believe $2.9 million of his $4 million contract was a signing bonus. So
money well spent for 6 games of part-time duty.
Yeah, they got and he had gotten up to 100% of the snaps against Cincinnati, and then it just cratered off the face of the planet. He had 49, 60, and 26 in terms of the snaps. Wasn't playing a whole lot, and that's why he was ready to be done. Before we move on to the grades, want to note that, Von Miller passed his physical with the Rams. He had hurt his ankle with the Broncos in week 7, but he passed his physical, meaning he is all good. That trade is completed. Von Miller is going to the Rams. And 2, a surprise last-second trade. The Broncos sent rookie cornerback Kerry Vincent Jr. to the Eagles for a 2022 6-round pick, according to Tom Pelissero of NFL Media. That one snuck through the 4 p.m. buzzer. Adibo, on a scale of 1 to 2, how are you? How excited are you?
1.5. Ryan, tell me about him. You scouted him last year.
Yeah, athletic player. I think I had like an early day 3 grade on him. Played on those really good defenses at LSU. I can't remember if he may have opted out last year. I'd have to go back and check. Sixth round pick in terms of compensation tells me that the Eagles probably liked him last year.
He did opt out.
Okay, so that's the other thing. He doesn't have a lot of experience now, if he didn't play last year. So he played on the national championship winning LSU team with all those other players in that defense that were drafted. So there's some projection trying to figure out what kind of player he was and maybe who traded him?
The Broncos traded him.
Oh, the Broncos. So maybe the Broncos they're keeping Kyle Fuller, who was often mentioned as a possible trade target. They had Patrick Surtain, and maybe there wasn't a place for him there, or maybe they didn't love what they saw after they got him in camp, but if the Eagles liked him, it sounds like they did. Why not take a flyer on him? And Debo, you know better than I do. They could use certainly help on defense and in the secondary.
Yeah. And he probably would have been the third best corner anyways on that LSU team last year with Stingley and Ricks there.
Right? Yeah. There you go. By the way, if you haven't seen Ed Ogeron's comments about his team in preparation for Alabama, please go check them out. They are absolutely hysterical.
Oh, okay. I will go check this out.
He was asked in the press conference quickly. They said, what do you think? How's the team playing? Are there concerns? And he thought they were talking about Alabama. And he goes, well, they're really good. They go, no, your team. And he basically said, we are terrible. We are a big pile of dog doo-doo. And that's a guy who knows he's out of a job in a few weeks. But anyway, check those out if you're looking
for something. Yeah, he's on vacation. We mentioned Von Miller passed his physical. How about a grade, Breach, for the Rams?
I'm going to give the Rams an A.
Von Miller, by the way, is traded for a 2022 second and a 2022 third-round pick.
Look, the Rams have shown that their strategy is pretty clear when it comes to trading picks, and it's that they don't care about the draft. They would rather have a proven commodity than these lottery draft picks that you don't know if they're going to pan out. So they just give them away. They get a proven player back. Number one, they don't really have to pay Von Miller because the Broncos are footing $9 million of his salary. So that takes that off the table. Number two, no first round picks involved, one second round pick, and you have another third round pick you got because of a compensatory pick. So you're still okay there. And Von Miller with Aaron Donald. Are you kidding me? The Rams defense, they're all in for the Super Bowl. I love this move. I give it an A. Should I give an A plus? I'll give it an A.
Okay.
Ryan to give me an F so he can get an A plus.
What would you give the Broncos for this?
I'd give them an A as well. I mean, they got a second and a third round pick. I think I'm fine with Breach's grade because the Rams have made it clear they don't care about draft picks. And that roster is pretty stacked. If they're trying to win now, and Breach sort of noted about this, if you don't want to take a flyer on a second or third rounder next year, you want to get the scouting department the year off, trade those picks away, get a proven player, and go get them. And I think the Broncos are obviously a team, although you know they're still sort of quote-unquote in the mix in that division. They're a team that needs a quarterback, and maybe these are picks you can use not to trade up to get one, but to trade one, whether it's Russ or Aaron, or maybe they get back in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes so we get to that point in the springtime. Yeah, I think it's a great trade. It's one of these trades that feels balanced for both sides. If you were just looking at it in the team that acquired Von Miller weren't the Rams, you would say that the Broncos maybe won because of what was given up. But knowing that it's the Rams and where they are and how they sort of view these things, I think it's a pretty even trade. So I'll give the Broncos an A.
Yeah, I saw some people, or I can't remember, somebody from PFF was bashing the trade. It's like, look at these teams, and like listed like seven teams that traded day two picks for a high end defensive player. And it was like all teams, most of them were teams that went to the Super Bowl, but just lost in the Super Bowl, which I don't know. I mean, I think the Rams would probably sign to be in the Super Bowl right now. Not that they would sign to lose the Super Bowl. I'm saying they would sign if they get Von Miller and if trading a second and a third guarantees you a chance to play in the Super Bowl. I think the Rams feel like that is an absolute victory for them in this deal.
It feels like when everyone was crushing, and I had questions too, when the Falcons traded to get Julio Jones to give up so much. Hey, man, they got to the Super Bowl. They should have won it. And yep. If they had won it, no one would have cared. They didn't, but, you know, that it is what it is.
Yeah, no doubt. And for the – look, I think the Broncos deserve a ton of credit for this because you don't often see a NFL team that's 4-4 be willing to trade away a franchise, like a Ring of Honor franchise legend, a guy they drafted with they drafted him third overall, right? When it was, cause it was Cam, Darius, and Vaughn. They drafted him. He's played for he's probably a Hall of Famer. I know Wilson.
Actually, I wasn't even going to push back on that one.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say
he was the second overall pick.
Oh yeah. So Darius was third. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. At any rate, it's been 10 years. Von Miller, a likely / probable Hall of Famer, I think, just because of he's Super Bowl MVP, won a Super Bowl. That defense has been dominant. He's put up monster numbers for over a decade. And so, this is a guy that if you're the Broncos, there was a lot of emotion between both sides letting him go. But you're 4-4. You still had a shot at the playoffs. Good for them for recognizing their position and saying, you know what? We do need to go out and get some draft picks. We want to try and improve at the quarterback position next offseason. So they do that. Speaking of the Rams, by the way, Jeremy Fowler of ESPN reports that the Rams are expected to release DeSean Jackson. Both parties explored trade possibilities. He would have stayed, but this gives him a chance to get more playing time. He will be subject to waivers, which is hard to believe since DeSean Jackson's been around so long that he'd be subject to waivers. But I would think there'll be some interest in DeSean Jackson. He was open deep for the Rams several times. I'm really shocked they didn't find a way to use him more. Matthew Stafford missed him a couple times.
They have a ton of playmakers. That's why. And as Breach noted in the pre-show, if you're 34 years old and you can't be happy in a team that's, as you just talked about, has a really good chance to go to the Super Bowl or at least make a deep playoff run, I don't know what would make you happy. It's not like you're on the end of your rookie deal and you're trying to get paid. You're on a team that wins football games. And for some people, that maybe isn't the most important thing. Maybe DeSean Jackson, that is important to him, and we're just not seeing it, but he's unhappy, and he's looks like soon to be released.
Yeah, what team is going to want to sign him? If he can't make it work on a team that's throwing the ball all the time, where's he going to go and get more playing time and get more targets and get more receptions? It just doesn't make sense to me that he wants to leave. Like, hey, you've never won a Super Bowl in your life. Stick around for the rest of the season. Maybe get a Super Bowl ring. Figure things out next year. You're not going to – I just don't see him finding a spot, a better spot than the Rams where he's going to make a huge contribution.
Yeah.
Ryan. Season.
Ryan, well, I'm Jackson Hall of Famer?
Ooh.
Deshaun Jackson. No.
I don't think so, no.
No, he's not.
Just wanted to check.
If Brinson and Breach aren't on board with that, you know it's a hard no.
Yeah, I mean, he's played 27, 5, 32, 32, 30, 24, and 6% of the snaps through 7 weeks. I guess he didn't play last week. Or maybe he's inactive because they were potentially trying to trade him. I mean, he doesn't have a whole lot of – what does he have? 15 targets and 8 catches. Is that right? He has 221 receiving yards this year?
We had like 75 on one game. Catch.
Right, yeah. He was like the Deshaun of old.
I guess the thing that's odd to me is that this is sort of what I assume they brought Deshaun Jackson in for.
By the way, Jordan,
Deshaun Jackson, I would have assumed that the Rams brought me in to be this occasional deep threat who – and maybe it's a situation where Sean McVay is like, look, man, I got – Robert Woods is complaining about, you know, like too many mouths to feed. So you get the guy.
Well, I'll tell you exactly. According to Jordan Rodrigue, who covers the Rams for The Athletic now,
yeah.
She notes that that's her impression that, quote, more playing time in general was not necessarily the issue with Deshaun. Specifically, more targets on offense with more playing time on offense seemed to be the source of the frustration. So there you go.
I mean, if Deshaun don't want to be out there running a bunch of deep routes and not, and it's just Matthew Stafford just hitting Cooper Kupp over and over again.
Right. Only so many sprints left in those 34-year-old legs.
Sure.
Put him in Indy.
He wouldn't last 2 weeks with Carson Wentz.
No, he would not.
That'd be like drawing DPI to Sean on underthrown deep balls.
So that doesn't count as a target, right? They take that off. It doesn't count.
It'd be no play, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's a no stat there.
Okay. Charles Omenihu to the 49ers for a future late round pick. Breach left.
He announced it on Slack. You don't patrol that, so I'll let you know.
I'm just not getting the notifications.
That's why me and Debo are here.
I've restarted. It's a problem.
You're like a grandpa trying to drive the car, and we got to tell you where to go in the passenger seat.
I turned off Do Not Disturb. I don't know what's going on with our computer. If anybody listening to the podcast or in the YouTube channel, by the way, hit the like button in YouTube, youtube.com/pick6. We were live leading up to the trade deadline. Smash that like button. Tell us your favorite deal of the trade deadline, or point out, let me know how I can fix my notifications that I'm not getting on my stupid brand new laptop. Texans grade, 49ers grade for Charles Omenihu.
I love Charles Omenihu. I like him coming out of Texas. No, I like him. I mean, here's the thing. You're comparing this trade to the division to the Rams getting Von Miller, and it's not right. Even, well, I don't want to say it's not even close. It's a bigger splash if you're the Rams getting Von Miller. But Charles Minn, who's a good young player, I think it was silly that the Texans got rid of him for only a sixth-round pick. But whatever. We don't know what the Texans are doing. I like the move for San Francisco. I'm hard on them about not playing to their potential. But this is a move in the right direction. So I like the – I'll give it a B-plus for San Fran and like a C-minus, maybe even a D for Houston, because I would have tried to get more or keep him as a young player who you can build around.
Yeah, trade your old veterans and keep your younger players. If somebody's under the age of 25, why are you talking about trading?
I don't know. It's crazy town, man.
Okay, so other deals that had happened previously that we would have talked about that we mentioned earlier, just Mark Ingram to the Saints, Joe Flacco to the Jets, Stephon Gilmore, C.J. Henderson both traded to the Panthers.
Joe Flacco, I love that he just won't go away.
Amazing trade. It's like
he's going to play longer than Tom Brady.
And the funny part is we saw and then, like, I had a Jets buddy in a chat who was like, oh, Flacco's not going to be ready. This is trouble for this week. And it's like, if that's your problem, then you got bigger problems. And it's up Mike White led the league in passing yards last
week. It is sort of funny that Joe Douglas tried to CYA cover his behind by trading for Joe Flacco because they didn't have a veteran presence. And then Mike White just balls out. So it almost blows up in his face.
Yeah. Like, Joe Douglas starting to
raise some questions.
Yeah, raise some questions. Get on the radar. Also worth mentioning that Henry Ruggs is going to be charged with DUI. I believe the actual phrase is DUI that caused I'll find the actual phrase, but I think it's DUI that causes death. He was in a two-car accident at 3:30 in the morning in Las Vegas. The other motorist in the car tragically died. Henry Ruggs suffered some non-life-threatening injuries, and the Raiders and the NFL have released the the statements that you would think that they would release here, which is they are in the fact-finding process currently. The actual full statement from the Las Vegas Metro Police Department. On November 2nd, approximately 3:39 a.m., the LVMPD responded to a traffic collision near the intersection of South Rainbow Boulevard and South Spring Valley Parkway involving a Chevrolet Corvette and a Toyota RAV4. Responding officers located the Toyota on fire. Fire department personnel responded and located a deceased victim inside the Toyota. The preliminary investigation indicates the front of the Chevrolet collided with the rear of the Toyota. The driver of the Chevrolet, identified as 22-year-old Henry Ruggs III, remained on scene and showed signs of impairment. He was transported to UMC Hospital to be treated for non-life-threatening injuries. Ruggs will be charged with DUI resulting in death. The quick glance at some Nevada legal analysis shows that if he is convicted, it could be punishable by oddly small fine, but 2 to 20 years in prison. I believe last year, I was doing some research on this, Nevada just changed the laws. You used to be able to be charged for second-degree murder. Mm. They changed it last year, and so now it is a maximum of 20 years in prison for this. So certainly, you know, thoughts and prayers to the family and friends and family of the person involved in the other car. I mean, it's a horrible tragedy. And we don't know how this plays out. We have seen this rare occasions before in the NFL. Leonard Little, Dante Stallworth, both were both involved in accidents, similar accidents. But I would anticipate that this, I would guess that this probably ends his season. Would be my guess, and the legal ramifications will extend far, far beyond that.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know how this proceeds, because I don't remember this. You mentioned like the previous times it's happened, and I don't know. And we're in a different time too, in terms of how the league responds and how willing or unwilling they are to let players play in the light of serious things happening to them off the field. So we'll see. But yeah, like you said, it's terrible. It's just absolutely, you know, it's hard to wrap your brain around, and yeah, it sucks.
Yeah. Very, very tragic. Okay. Anything else, not to move on, but anything else from the trade deadline that we need to cover before we get out of here?
No. I mean, I think someone mentioned in the pre-chat, it may have been our buddy Lucas, if they move the trade deadline back, maybe there's more action happening, but
yeah,
you know, it is what it is. Not a lot's happened. You mentioned the compensatory picks as possibly being the culprit, but you know, you have to deal with what it is. And it's been as unexciting a time as I can remember on something that's supposed to be sort of fun.
There is there's a lot of hype surrounding the NFL trade deadline, and almost nothing ends up going down. The Packers also released Jalen Smith, who they just recently signed, and the Washington football team expects Logan Thomas to return to practice after the bye to make room for Logan Thomas to come back. They released Jay Sternberger, the former third round pick of the Green Bay Packers, who they had picked up.
Yeah, he just never worked out in Green Bay.
Yeah, did not work out. So that's it, I believe, for the show. Thanks for watching. Thanks for hanging out. For Breach, for Wilson, I'm Brenton. We will talk to you guys later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.